Sportscast, July 18th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. Visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest. Novak Djokovic has won his fifth Wimbledon championship after defeating Roger Federer in an epic Wimbledon championship. Lasted for almost 6 hours, the longest in Wimbledon history. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about it, our tennis expert, Mr. Ty Turner. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
What's good, how you doing?
Good, good. Of course, Wimbledon. I watched the last two hours of Wimbledon. I went to church in the first 3 hours. I knew, had a feeling that it's going to last a little long. But I had good judgment about it. But you watched the whole 5 hours.
Yep, it was a doozy. I mean, I think I might have taken I watched pretty much the whole thing. So yeah, obviously it was the longest Wimbledon final in the history of Wimbledon. Matchup of two of the best to ever grace the court. I wouldn't say it was their best stuff from the best of Federer, especially the best of Djokovic, it was not. The best of Federer, he played very well. I mean, for a guy at 38 years old to still be playing at that level is extremely impressive. And his service is the strongest part of his game, especially on grass. And he served extremely well. He also returned pretty well too. He broke him. He broke Djokovic five times in the first four sets. That's pretty impressive. Federer played pretty well. I would say it was a great match by Novak Djokovic. He didn't break Federer until the end of the fourth set, and that's very unusual for the guy who's considered the greatest returner in tennis history. He also did not land his serves as good as he normally does. He missed a lot of his first serves, and overall, his energy level was even like Novak's normally is super like passionate and very. You see him; he's very noticeable with his emotions on the court, but he was kind of calm and a little. I mean, which is good to be calm, but a little different. He almost had a personality like Federer, as opposed to his normal personality. So, but it was 5 hour longest Wimbledon final in the history of Wimbledon. And, it actually went to the new tiebreaker, when it's tied at 12, they go to just the tiebreaker. So the first guy to 7 to win by 2 points. Novak won it.
What do you think about the new rules with the tiebreaker?
Yeah, I understand because they have matches that are going on for like ever. Like they had one match one time that went on for like 12 hours. So it's just a way to like make it, and especially if a guy is, it's like a quarterfinal or semifinal match. Basically, the guy will be completely exhausted and won't be really able to play the next round. So yeah, it was a way to shorten that. I thought it was a good idea. I like it.
You think Federer ever had a chance, or like what set do you think he should have, overcome Novak?
Did he ever have a chance? Yeah. Let's just say he was ahead 8-7, 40-15 match point in the final set, and Novak Djokovic scored four straight points on him to take the game. And all he needed was 1 point, and he was the Wimbledon champion. So did Roger Federer have a chance? Yeah. You can't get any more of a chance than that. He had 1 point to get, and he was going to be the Wimbledon champion. So, yes, Roger Federer probably should have, in all intents and purposes, probably finished it off. But he didn't. The thing is when it comes to something that has to be taken into context is when it comes to Wimbledon, not just Wimbledon finals, Grand Slam finals, Last four times Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer have played, Novak's won all four. And he's 4-1 all time against Federer. He's also beat him in a couple semifinals. So we never ask who's the greatest, the GOAT debate. You have to look to Novak's domination over Federer in the Grand Slam finals and in the semifinals over the last 5 to 10 years.
In the first, the tight first set, Federer was unable to take advantage of Djokovic's struggles on serve in the tiebreak. His forehand hit him down and allowed the world number one to take the lead. But the defending champion's game completely disappeared in the second set, and Federer broke him three times to level the match. The third set also went to a tiebreak, and Djokovic, despite not being at his best, won it again. But in the fourth set, Federer rallied to take the match into the fifth set decision. Of course, you know, Djokovic is the big debate of, you know, will he be the GOAT of tennis? Do you think he's on track for that?
Yeah, I kind of hinted at it, went around and mentioned it slightly indirectly. But if it comes to, like, they kind of say that the one thing that defines who's the GOAT in tennis or the greatest when it comes to being the greatest tennis player of all time is the Grand Slams. The leader is Federer at 20, Rafael Nadal is second at 18, Novak Djokovic is third at 16. But I think there even should be some more context in it, meaning who's been world number one the longest? Well, so far it's Roger, but Novak is barely behind him. I don't have the stats in front of me right now, but the world number one for the longest, it's like 302 weeks for Federer, and it's like 280 or something for Novak. You look at it head-to-head, Novak leads Federer 26-22. He also leads Nadal 28-26. You look at Grand Slam, when they play each other in the Grand Slam, I know he leads Federer, I think it's like 10-6 or something. I can't remember. I'm kind of just winging these stats. But he also leads Nadal by a little bit. Grand Slam finals, he leads Nadal 4-3. He leads Federer 4-1. So if you put all that, and if Novak wins 3-4 and he wins 19-20, let's just say he wins 19, Nadal even wins 20. Let's see if Nadal wins two more French, but and Federer wins one more. So let's say at the end of their career, 21 titles for Federer, 20 for Nadal, 19. So you say Federer is the best, correct? But let's say at that point, Novak has been number one the longest, most number of weeks. He won the head-to-head versus Nadal and Federer. He won the head-to-head in Grand Slams. He won the head-to-head in Grand Slam finals. He won the most ATP tours, the tournaments. But the only thing that they have on him is they won a couple more Grand Slams. I still would probably say that I would give it to Novak because he leads in every other area. And even at this point, he's either close or is leading in every area over Novak. Sorry, over Roger and Nadal. If the benchmark is Grand Slams, then he has to get over Federer. But I think other things need to be taken into context, too. And so Novak's close already. If he wins a couple more, and if he happens to win more Grand Slams, then he's unquestionably the greatest tennis player of all time. And when it comes down to what makes Novak so great is his consistency in shot making, his ability to return, his flexibility and his speed around, just where when it gets to ball in, when it gets to the long rallies, it's extremely difficult to beat. His shots he hits just on the line, so you know that he's taking you from corner to corner, hitting those lines, and very few people can keep up with him physically. Because at the same time, when you're hitting those lines, there's a good chance that Novak will get it. He's just hard to beat in volleys. And he's just a great returner. When his return's on, he's tough to serve against. If you don't hit your first serve, there's a good chance he's going to beat you if you're only hitting your second serves. And he just makes it extremely difficult to ever get the upper hand on him. And That's what makes Novak Djokovic so good.
Roger Federer has spent a total of 310 weeks as number one, world number one.
No, Novak has.
Okay, well, I'm looking at Wikipedia.
Are you talking about all time? Currently, Novak's number one. Novak's been number one for quite a while. So you have to give context to that. Are you talking about Roger Federer had spent that much time in his life? That's probably correct.
Second. Let me read the rest of the context.
Because Federer right now is number three. He's not even number two right now.
Wow. Who's number two right now? Is it Nadal?
Nadal, yeah.
Of course. Roger Federer also has been at 237 consecutive weeks at the top of the ATP rankings, the most of any player. Federer is also the player with the longest time span between first and most recent dates as world number one.
I don't understand the context, man. Wikipedia. Right now, number one is no. I know you're saying Wikipedia, but I don't understand
Google.
The context of.
Yeah, maybe no, throughout history.
No. You're talking out of context. Okay, throughout history, but you all of a sudden were just like, Federer has been number one for this long, and I'm like, no, he's not number one right now. So I don't know the context. You're saying throughout time he's been number one for 300.
For 310
probably,
weeks.
Oh, that's probably true. That's probably true, yeah. Wow. How long is Novak then? Since you have Wikipedia up, how long is Novak then?
He does, they don't have him on for some reason. Let me look.
Well, look it up.
Novak. Look it up. Novak. How many day? I don't know how to Google this. How long has Novak been number one?
Well, where did you find Roger?
I just Googled the world number one something. Oh, well. We'll probably move on.
Because Roger Federer is not number one right now. It's just odd that they'd bring that up. Yeah. He's not even number two.
Speaking about Roger, how long does Roger have left in his career? What's your hunch feeling?
Well, he played pretty good in this tournament, but he's always played good on grass if he's healthy. The grass is definitely the court that he's at his best, especially when he's healthy. So if he was going to win one, it was going to, I think, be on grass. Like, if he wins another one, I still think it's a Wimbledon. He has not played well at the U.S. Open. Like, some people are like, well, he's playing well. He might go to the U.S. Open. He hasn't really played that well. I think he's made one final in, like, a decade, and he lost that to Novak Djokovic. He hasn't played great at the Open. I think it's because it's a little later. He gets, you know, his body gets broken down a little bit. So I don't think he's going to win the Open. I think the Open could very well be Nadal versus Djokovic in the final. So I think if Federer wins another one, I think it would be next year's Wimbledon.
Wow,
that's my guess.
But feels
maybe
like
the he plays the Australian Open pretty good, and it's coming off of the off season, so he's rested up. If somehow Novak gets upset, remember Novak's very good at the Australian. I could see maybe Federer winning it, but. My guess is Wimbledon if he wins another one.
Feels like Novak has been on a streak with Wimbledon lately.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a streak in general. He's won four out of five of the last majors. Yeah, he's won two Wimbledons in a row. He's won, of the Wimbledons, I think he's won four out of the last six. So, yeah, he's been playing pretty good. But, I mean, you could say the same. He's, you know, remember, he's won seven Australians. He's won three U.S. Open. So I'm excited to see the U.S. Open. I think it's going to be pretty good. I got a feeling it's going to be Nadal versus Djokovic in the final, but we'll see.
And who will win that one, you think?
I'm going to go with Novak.
That's right. You're a Novak fan.
I always go. But I think he's the best, too. Sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm a Tiger Woods fan. I'm an Oregon Duck fan. I'm a Novak Djokovic fan. There's some times where it's like I'm a fan of the person, so I'm going to kind of say that they're going to win, but I don't really think they're going to win. Like, about Tiger Woods, I haven't thought he's going to win. Like, I don't think he's not going to win the British Open. If he wins the British Open, it'll shock the heck out of me. I don't think he's going to win it. But I didn't actually think he was going to win the PGA and the U.S. I probably said he maybe he's going to, but I actually didn't think he was. I actually think Novak's going to win the U.S. Open. I really do. I think he's going to win the Australian Open next year. I mean, he's the best tennis player on earth by, you know, Nadal and Federer are great, but when, I mean, Novak didn't even play good. I watch Novak play all the time. He didn't play that great. He wasn't playing that great in Wimbledon. That's the only thing. Maybe he's still losing motivation. I know how when Novak's good. When he's good, he's just like a serving master. I mean, returning master. Like, you can't get anything by him. If you miss your first serve, he's more than likely going to break you if you're not landing your first serve. And he wasn't. I mean, he was not even second serve. He wasn't even, like, and he was kind of, like, low-key and wasn't super revved up. And he's normally, like, super, like caffeinated. He was kind of, like, very calm. I didn't find him to be, and he still won. Played like that, and he still won. So I think I got a feeling he'll be pretty good at the U.S. Open and Australia next year. So, yeah, I feel pretty confident.
Now, back in the day, were you a Agassi fan or a Pete Sampras fan?
You know, I wasn't as much of a tennis fan back then, to be honest with you.
Until Novak showed
very
up.
Much. Oh, no, I mean, I was a fan for... I actually used to be a Federer fan, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But by the time those guys came around, they're the three best players. Like, Agassi and Sampras are good, McEnroe and Connor and Borg and Becker. I mean, they're all good tennis players. None of them are... They're not as good as Federer, Djokovic, and Nadal.
I mean,
that's how I'd rate it right now.
Yeah,
that's how I'd rate it right now, too.
Roger looked exhausted. He looked pretty tired. Like, he did not look like what he did, like, you know, a couple years ago.
I thought he looked pretty good. Really?
Yeah, I don't know. He looked pretty tired. It's like, wow, Novak's really this good. Just look at his face.
I thought he hung in there pretty good. I thought, really? Oh, yeah. I didn't find him looking that tired, to be honest with you. I thought actually Novak was more tired.
Wow, and still won. That's the funny part. It's like Michael Jordan, you know, had a bad finals, but still won.
Yep.
Anyways, British Open begins this week. Roy McIlroy is the favorite to win it. That's what Vegas says.
No. Have you been watching it?
I have not. So far, what do you see?
Roy's not going to win. He shot 5 over par. Yeah, I know. He was the favorite. He was probably who I was going to pick to win, but he shot 5 over par today, so I don't think Rory's going to win it. Lowry is actually in the lead right now. There's a lot of guys that John Rahm, I don't know what he shot today.
I love John Rahm.
I think he has a chance. Molinari, I thought, had a chance. He didn't play very well today. Mickelson, I thought, had a chance. He didn't play very well today. Really bad weather out there. Rahm hasn't teed off yet. Garcia had a pretty good day. Sergio Garcia, and there's a guy you have to watch out. He's a
sleeper.
He's a veteran. He's a veteran, and he's European. He's played those courses a lot. So he's 3-under. He's a guy that, you know, people probably weren't talking about that maybe could sneak in there. And then, you know, Koepke, he's been very good at all the majors. I don't think it's a great course for him, but he's a chance. And then Jordan Spieth. You have to watch Jordan. He's won it before, and I think he's the guy that's a threat there. So, and again, Woods. But I don't know.
Can he be a dark horse?
Something people I guess of course. I mean, he's the greatest golfer of all time, but he just doesn't seem super motivated right now. To be honest with you, it seems like he won that major, and he
hasn't been the same.
He just wants to keep. Well, don't jump here. I think he's just trying to keep his body, and he's trying to stay healthy. And I think he kind of has his plan where maybe he's going to really go hard for one major year, especially the Masters, because that's where he's played for years. And that's the one he's going to go really hard after. And maybe that's kind of the way he's going to try to win 18. I don't know. By going hard for one major, really. And he got it out of the way, and I think so he's kind of like let the foot off the old proverbial gas pedal, and maybe next year if he doesn't win it, then he puts a the foot on the gas pedal and tries to win the British or one of those more stronger. I don't know. I don't have a feeling he's going to win it. Hopefully he plays well.
Yes, of course. The British Opens begins today. The final championship is this Sunday. Of course, they say the sleeper could be Sergio Garcia. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I just mentioned him.
That's right.
Yep. He shot 3-under today. Yep.
Huston Johnson is also could be a surpriser as well. DJ.
I mean, really? He's not really a surpriser.
How's that? CBS Sports is telling me this.
I mean, he's the number two player in the world, I think, right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Matt Wallace?
I mean, yeah, he could. Yeah, I mean, that guy could. I kind of was leaning towards Rory to win this, but, you know, he went out and shot a terrible first day. I would say, if you're going to go for, like, sleepers, I would say Phil Mickelson's a sleeper, Matt Kuchar's a sleeper, Sergio Garcia, who obviously kind of has proven that right after the first day. You know, like a Darren Clark, like one of those, like, maybe I screw up his name, Asa Dudson or whatever. I can't say his name. I can't say his name. I think he's a Swiss guy. Henrik Stenson, Lowry, the guy who's in first right now. Mm-hmm. He's from Ireland, so he's probably more used to the course than a lot of the other guys. So I think those are the guys to watch out for sleepers. I wouldn't consider, like, Dustin Johnson or Brooks Koepka, they're two of the best players in the world. I mean,
Brooks Koepka.
Yeah. I don't think I'd call that a sleeper, in my opinion, at least.
In your humble opinion.
Yeah, that's like in tennis, if Novak wins the French, I wouldn't call that, like, a sleeper. He's probably not the favorite, but...
It's one of the top four. I mean, like, the top three, Novak, Federer, and Nadal.
Yeah, if they're playing on the other one's surface, that they're not a sleeper. A sleeper would be like Despotov winning the young dude. Dominic Thiem taken. Even him. He's number four. Anytime it's a top guy, I don't know. Sleeper is kind of an odd term to use. I'd consider a sleeper someone that maybe has not been really relevant for a while. Sergio Garcia, that's a good sleeper.
I like that. It's a solid sleeper.
And he played good today, so he's making that seem realistic.
How's the weather right now? Is it pretty hot or is it kind of cool, you think?
In the British?
Yeah.
It's terrible. It was like it's raining cats and dogs. I was watching it before I got on the phone with you. It's a terrible day.
That's what you expect when you're in the UK.
It's terrible.
Anyways, college football. The Aggies has scored big with number one quarterback recruit after nearly taking 3 weeks to make a final decision. Dual threat quarterback Haynes King commits to the Texas A&M on Wednesday. What do you think about that?
I mean, he seems pretty good. I don't know a ton about him. But, yeah, he seems like a pretty good player. Supposed to be a dual threat guy. Pretty athletic guy.
So, Fisher.
Pick up by the Aggies.
Fisher has done a good job.
Yep.
Tua. Alabama had their media day this week. And, of course, they were talking about the whole situation after, like, the Clemson loss and everything. And I think you just posted something on Instagram from Alabama linebacker Dylan Moses. It was more of a preparation. I wouldn't say the Clemson were a better team. Georgia is definitely the hardest team I've ever played in college. Do you agree?
I mean, that's his opinion, I guess. I don't know. Figure out what. See you later.
I took the trash out.
Wait, hold on, Sandy.
It's okay.
What? No, are we doing what? No, we're going to be leaving in a little bit.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
We're wrapping up soon.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Keep on asking questions.
So, Tua has learned many lessons from Clemson. He says, I think it's good to get both the opportunity to win and have the opportunity to lose as well. He said Wednesday at the SEC Media Days, I know this sounds bad, but I'm glad I had the opportunity to feel a loss like that. What can you learn from winning? You can learn as much, but when you lose, you start appreciating things a lot more. Definitely in a different perspective as well. So I'm kind of glad that we did lose. Many lessons have learned from that loss. Do you think Alabama will be stronger after this loss?
That was a better, much better, more thought-out comment than Moses' comment. Yeah. I mean, Alabama has a ton of talent. They're one of the most talented teams in college football. They have one of the best coaches in college football. They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
They're in the top four, top three, of course, in college football.
Yeah.
A lot of college football players are coming back into training camp or have been already. And 247 Sports has the Ducks favored in almost every game of ESPN's computer projection.
You mean ESPN has it?
Yeah.
They're almost favored in every game? I didn't even see it. Like, what game are they not favored in?
Okay, let's see. Debut, win-loss. Let's see. Oregon will open the season in Albuquerque Classic. The Ducks will face Nevada and Montana at home with 96% winning probability. Are going to travel?
What is the probability of a win versus Auburn?
Auburn, let's see. That's a great question. Auburn is listed. They did not include a win total for Oregon's game against Auburn. This week, the FPI updated with a look at all. Okay. They don't have it. Wow, that's a tough first game. Crap.
Yeah, you didn't know that was the first
Auburn
game?
Auburn has a 7% chance of making the college football playoffs. That's all they have.
So, you didn't know that was their first game?
I totally forgot.
You didn't know that Auburn – oh, that's the biggest game in college football, the first week of the season.
Wow.
You might need to know that.
That's a big game.
It's going to be the game of the week. It's already the game considered – it's already the primetime game. It's at Dallas Cowboys Stadium, so yeah.
And how is Auburn looking for next season, you think?
I mean, Gus Malzahn's definitely on the hot seat. He's going to have – if he has a terrible year, he could be in trouble. They have a lot of great defensive players back. They have two of the better defensive linemen in Derek Brown and Nick Coe coming back. They have pretty good secondary. They have some talent on offense. The problem is they're going to start a freshman quarterback. It's going to either be Joey Gatewood or Bo Nix. One guy, Gatewood's a redshirt freshman. Nix is a true freshman. He's the son of former Auburn quarterback Patrick Nix. Balzahn's back to calling the plays on offense. He's a great offensive mind. They have talent. They have talent on both sides of the ball. We'll go into the Oregon game later, but
yeah.
I think the big thing about the Oregon game is I think on paper it's pretty close when it comes to talent. Maybe Auburn has a little bit of an edge, but the big advantage should be the big advantage. If it isn't, then Justin Herbert might need to, I don't know, he might drop him down a little in his pro prospects. But the big advantage is Justin Herbert's a four-year starter, and Auburn's going to be starting a true freshman. And a big game on the road for both teams that should be a huge advantage to Oregon. That's what I see as the real kind of difference in the game. Because I think on paper, it's a very close game. But when you look at one team has a four-year starter and the other team is going to be playing a true freshman, I mean, the four-year starter should have a massive advantage, you would think. So that's the big difference in the game, I think.
The biggest game of the year for Oregon, besides Washington.
You need to clarify that. Yeah, because you said biggest game. It's biggest as it's the first game. It's the national game. It's probably the game of the week. But no, the biggest game of the year is Washington because that's your Pac-12 North rival.
Would you say
that is so much? The winner probably goes to the Pac-12 title. Good chance. The winner, gets the edge in recruiting because remember they're big rivals when it comes to recruiting. So no, the biggest, and it's a rival. So they play them every year. Their biggest game is Washington. Don't get it twisted, dog. The biggest game they play will be against Washington. Yeah.
We'll see what Peterson has up his sleeve for that game. Anyways, Anything else before we head into predictions?
No, I think it's just, you know, get ready for football season. It's 2 weeks as fall camp has started for everyone. I think August 2nd is the first day that people are starting. And I'm excited to see particularly what the season's going to have and Oregon, see how good they are. And
this is it.
I think they,
this is it for Oregon.
What do you mean if this is it?
I mean, this is like their best team. This is what they're built for. 2019.
Yeah, you mean best team as in far as what?
Recruitment, talent, quarterback.
Best team as in all time, or best team as in the last couple of years?
Best team for this season.
What do you mean best team for this season?
Best. I mean, this is Oregon's team.
No,
I want you to clarify.
Like, what do you mean?
This is the climax. This is what we've been expecting for the past 4 years. You know, Oregon's, their talent.
It was? Well, four years ago, they had three. It was three coaches ago, so I didn't know what to expect. It was two coaches ago. And then, I'm trying to clarify. No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to understand what you're saying.
I'm saying that Oregon has been building for this year. This is the climax. This is Herbert's senior year.
You realize... Yeah, that's true. Okay, no. Let's talk about some of the facts to this, because you're a comment. I'm like trying to understand it, trying to break it down. Okay, best team for 4 years. Well, 3 years ago they had two different coaches ago. So they had, you know, Mark Helfrich led them to the playoffs, and they had the 9-4 season. Then they had the terrible season. He got fired. Hired Willie Taggart. He brings in his mojo and all his like fancy crap. You know, I had a pretty good recruiting class going, and then he just darts off to Florida State, and then Mario Cristobal gets the job, and then last year was his first year. So that's what I'm trying to say. That team, do I think this is the most talented team?
The most talented team since Mariota.
Yes. If that is your premise, I agree.
Since the Chip Kelly days.
Since Mariota. There's been, you know, they're playing a grad transfer quarterback. They lost some pieces. And then obviously they more pieces. And then they had to play a freshman quarterback. So as far as having the best team in place since Marcus Mariota on paper with talent on the roster, I do agree with that. That is very much a correct statement.
Wasn't that freshman quarterback a walk-on quarterback?
No, the freshman quarterback was Justin Herbert.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought there was a walk-on quarterback that started a couple years ago.
Nope. The freshman quarterback was Justin Herbert.
That's the guy.
So from that standpoint, yes, there's more talent, more experience on this roster than it has been the last couple years. But I was just trying to understand it. Because you're like, this is what they've been building for.
I didn't word it right. But this is the best talent since Mariota. And it feels like... I don't know what's going to happen next year after this season. You'd probably know what's going on down the pipeline, but this year is looking good.
Well, if you think about it this way, their two best recruiting classes in the last like 5-6 years have been the last two.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to Mario Cristobal.
They signed the top 10 class last cycle, and then they signed the top 15 the year before. So actually, talent on the roster will be there after this season. Now they lose like Justin Herbert, and they lose some of these offensive linemen who are highly regarded, but people need to remember, and it might affect them in the polls because of that, but actually the most talented guys on the roster are all freshmen and sophomores.
Wow. There you have it.
So if you're going to go by talent and what the recruiting experts, how they rate guys, their most talented teams are actually going to be in the future, not this year.
Anyways,
but Justin Herbert's a senior this year, and because of that, if people do want to caution, I remember I talked about this last year. You probably forgot because you probably did.
I probably did.
while this team has all the veterans back, they've brought in talent. They do have a kind of a tough schedule this year, and they play
Auburn.
A lot of their toughest games on the road. They play Auburn on the road. They play Washington on the road. They play Stanford on the road. USC still is one of the more talented teams in the Pac-12. They play them on the road. So while people need to, if you're an Oregon fan, you know, you have to remember they haven't played well on the road the last couple of years. So even though this team is better and I think more experienced and even more talented than last year, it's a much tougher schedule. So that has to be remembered also.
I can't wait for the preview show. We're going to have a few preview shows in August. We can't have just 1 hour of everything. Obviously, you know, we'll have the shorter version of the sportscast, the Oregon preview, and probably the Pac-12 preview. And then, of course, Justin will review the SEC. And then me and Ryan will try to do ACC and SEC together. So we'll definitely be previewing throughout August.
I can do Big Ten too.
A Big Ten, I forgot about that. And Justin just can only do SEC because it's so big.
And he doesn't know anything but the SEC. Let's be honest.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just kidding. Where's the Big 12? Is the Big 12 just pay dirt?
I don't know. Big 12 is.
What happened to Big 12?
That's right. Yeah, we're looking for someone for Big 12. That's right. We're definitely looking for someone. We'll find someone. I'm sure there's someone out there.
Go get it. Go hit someone up in Texas.
Yeah, or Oklahoma.
I was just thinking Texas. Just like hit some random person up in Texas. Like, hey, you want to preview. I could do right now, Pac-12. I think it'll be Oregon, Washington, and Utah. That's probably the three best teams. And the Big Ten, I would say Ohio State, Michigan on the one side. Penn State, you know, possibly. The quarterback situation's kind of in a iffy, though.
Disarray.
And then I'd say on the other side. Other side's going to be really fun. The West. You got Nebraska, who's up on the up and up. Adrian Martinez and all that young guys. But then you have Wisconsin, who's always good. And Northwestern's bringing a lot of people back. And Purdue's even bringing some people back. And you have Iowa that has some really good defensive guys, especially, and an experienced quarterback. So the West is pretty fun over there. The East, I think, is going to be, I really think it's going to be Ohio State or Michigan.
It's the usuals.
And then the Pac-12, I really do think it's going to be a Washington-Oregon battle. That's why that game's so important.
Very important.
The winner will probably represent the Pac-12 conference. Probably represent the North, and then the South will probably be Utah, I think. Unless USC somehow wakes up, I don't know.
A sleeper.
I don't count on USC, right? They have the talent to be a sleeper. They do have the talent, but I don't.
This is a sleeper episode.
It's weird calling the team with the most talent in the conference a sleeper, but yeah, it's kind of the case there.
But their front office is not that good.
Yeah, their coaching staff is just, yeah.
All right. Anyways, we got to wrap up because we got to make some money. Predictions, who will win the British Open?
You know, since we're talking so much about sleepers, he had a pretty good first day. I think Sergio Garcia actually comes through.
Sergio Garcia. I'm going to write that down. Yep. We'll win. Okay. And random question, what is your favorite space movie?
None.
Really? Not even Star Wars? Independence Day?
No.
Okay.
No.
Here's another one.
No.
What is your favorite?
Not into those kind of movies.
What is your favorite Tom Hanks character?
Probably Forrest Gump.
Yeah, everyone says Forrest Gump. I always say the Castaway guy, which I don't know his name. The character's
that
name.
That was good. That was good.
Ty Turner, how can people reach you to talk to you about Tua versus Herbert?
TurnerCast, at TurnerCast.
At TurnerCast, that's a sports Twitter. And, of course, you can reach us at thesportscast.net, college football preview this August. I guess we'll figure out a date and we'll promote it and make sure we'll have a lot of viewership for that one and get everything going. Anyways, that is it for today. Washington Sports, British Open this weekend. And then after that, we'll just start seeing some baseball, but then we'll see some football news coming in, NFL, the Hall of Fame game, of course, preseason, and, of course, college football afterwards. Ty Turner, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thanks, homie.